You're listening to the BeyondCast, the official podcast of Beyond Student Ministries. Located in Seattle, Washington, we're all about faith, mission, and reality.
Sing in front of people sometimes. And this is like the, I don't know, for me, I'm a big pansy though. But you guys did a great job. Jordan didn't know he was singing until today. So you did a great job. Thank you very much, Jordan. You did awesome. So welcome to Beyond. It's been a while, but you know, it's good to see you guys all together under one roof, happy and lovey and just so great. Anyway, I'll stop being cheeseball and we'll just keep going. All right. Thank you. All right. So, today we're talking about family. Something that all of us can relate to in some area or another because all of us have a family, right? All right, you were born to somebody. You live with somebody right now. So we all have some family. Actually, no, I was... Anyway, but you know, family is something that can be really, really great or it's something that can be a real struggle and a difficulty. And, you know, there's a lot of different types of family, a lot of different environments that we can grow up in, and some are great, and some are hurt, some are broken, some are healthy, but we're all somewhere in there. And today, we're starting this series, and we're going to talk about Family Matters, and it's a great show. You guys remember Family Matters with Steve Urkel? All right. I didn't know if I was, like, the youth leaders. We were all pretty old compared to you guys, so I didn't know if it was just us, but good. I'm glad you guys remember. Are we ready for the No, we're not going to watch Family Matters. If it doesn't work, it's fine. All right. So we're going to just jump right in. Today, we are talking about Family Matters, and I want to talk about what the Bible says. You need that cord? Here, it's actually in my pocket. We're going to look at what the Bible says about family. We're going to look at how, you know, to... what's our responsibility in the family? What is our parents' responsibility in the family? How we can bring healing, all that kind of stuff. And so if you have a Bible, open up to Ephesians chapter 6. So, Jeff, I know you have a Bible. All right, Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to get there too. Here we are, 6. All right, verse 1. We're going to look at verses 1 through 4. So the first question that we should ever ask in any kind of situation where we're feeling like confusion or conflict or anything, we should always ask, you know, what is my role in this situation? Sometimes we have no role. You know, sometimes like you should just butt out, right? Like 898, whatever. Fantastic. So let's look at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. So, first question, what's our job in the family? Honor your parents. Right? You guys have heard this, if you've ever been to church before, and ever heard anybody talk about, you know, if you went to Sunday school or whatever, the first thing you learn, honor your parents, and Jesus is the answer to everything else. Right? In Sunday school? Yes. Anyway. So, honor your parents. And that's kind of like, well, what does that mean? Well, first of all, respect them. Don't have to bow to them. You know, how many of you guys were in church this morning? Don said something that was funny. He's like, you don't go into your house and say, "Greetings, Senior Ross, ruler of the Ross clan." You know, it's not like you have to do that every day. But like when your parents ask you something, you answer them. You know, like if your parents say, "Hey, how was school today?" Don't just be like, "Meh." Like actually talk with them. They want to know how your life is. So talk. Interact. Be a part. Let them be a part of your life. Another way, you know, they ask you to do something. What should you do? Do it. Yeah. Good job, Jacob. I'm proud of you. Do it. You know, how hard is it really to take out the trash? Okay. I don't need to. No. It's not that hard. Oh, well, that's, but you lived. It's close. Almost died. But you know what? Honor your parents. And what's cool about this passage is that it's the first, Paul points out that it's the first commandment, because this is one of the top 10 of God's whole commandment scheme here, plan, is that this is the first one with a promise that you will have long life and enjoy life in the land. And, you know, part of the Old Testament was like, if your kids disobey, kill them. It's in there. And I don't know how often that happened, but I mean, they were pretty serious. And so hopefully your parents have never like tried to kill you. But you know, it's part of the Bible. Honor them so that you may live long. And one of the things that you learn as you get older, because I'm old, sure are. As you get older, you learn that, you know what, my parents really did want the best for me. They really did want me to succeed. They really did want me to do well. And they were trying to set me up for a good life. And, you know, sadly, that's not always the answer for everybody. But for me, it was the truth, you know. And there were times where my mom and I would just throw down, like literally throw things down on the ground and break them. But, you know, we need to just honor them. Honor your parents because they really do want the best for you. And so the next question is, if we know our responsibility, what's our parents' responsibility? And that is in verse 4. And I love this word in here. Fathers and mothers, all right, it's inclusive there. Do not exasperate your children. I don't know what exasperate means, but it doesn't sound fun. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So our parents' responsibility is to train and instruct us in the ways of the Lord. Yes.
My Bible says, do not provoke.
Do not provoke. Perfect. Stir up. Anger. Good. Awesome. Well, now that we all know what that word means, except... Good. Don't harass your children. You got it? All right. So, you know, the sad thing is a lot of our parents don't know what that even means. To train up their children in the ways of the Lord. Like my parents, we all became Christians at the same time. And so we're all on like the same growth curve. And so my parents weren't really like training us up in the ways of the Lord. Like they knew they were doing it their whole lives. Does that make sense? You know, some of us in here, our parents have gone to church. Parents have like teethed on pews. So like there's teeth marks in the back of pews because they've been there forever. You know, that kind of thing. And they know how to, you know, they know what the Bible says. They know what God wants us to do and all this stuff. And that's awesome. And if you grew up in that house, awesome. That is fantastic. But the truth is that's not always the case. And so that's where we kind of fall apart a lot. You know, I was at a conference this weekend in Yakima, which is the Palm Springs of Washington. And if one of the speakers said is that we have a generation of parents who have never been shown godliness and have never shown godliness to their children. And it's a tragic fact when you look at your school and think, you know what, these people have a messed up view of God because their fathers don't show them what God is like. Does that make sense? And so, I mean, that's kind of the struggle that we're in as a church, as a nation, is really showing people what God is really like. And not what they think God is like, or what, you know, he's not like the cosmic bearded old man who lives in the woods. I don't know why I said the woods, but whatever. But, you know, what's that? Yes, whatever. The cedars of Lebanon. I don't know. I'm rambling now. So, but, you know, no matter what your family history has been, and I, you know, if we took a survey, we could all say different family history. And some of you guys might be like, today I went up and down with my parents. I loved them in the morning, hated them in the afternoon, and loved them or I still live up here. We fought before I got here. You know, you go the gamut with your family. But no matter what the cycle is, like if you come from a home with pain in it or you have caused pain in your home, you can break the cycle. You can stop it. You have a choice to make on how you're going to live, and you can stop the pain. And one of the things that people will make fun of me later is that I like this song. I have a video, and I actually like this song. And it's by an artist named Pink. And I use the word artist loosely because this is really her only good song that I've ever heard. And it's called Family Portrait. Yeah. Oh, hey, high fives. All right, so we're going to play this video. And, you know, listen to the words. And if you hate Pink, forgive me. Listen to the words. Jordan, stay awake. Stay awake. It's good. It's a good song. But you can break the cycle of pain, all right? So rock and roll. I'll just sing it. I hear glasses breaking. All right. Well, that was a fun experiment. Well, it's a great song. If you guys want to hear it later. What's that? You know how to fix it? Okay. Is it fixed? All right. Anybody got a joke? Speaking of broken families, anybody got a joke? Funny at all. Wow. At all. Like, my family is, I feel my family is really great. The truth is that even if yours is great, you know people who don't have that great a family life. And what they need from you and then is love, man. Honestly, they need love. So if you're sitting here today and be like, God, that song was stupid, I don't understand what we're talking about. You know, you have the power to bring life to people who are hurting. And you can, you know, a lot of people, that is their life, where their family is a constant struggle. And we have the power to bring life and to be a place where they can find love and acceptance. And I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. But, you know, for those of us who say, you know, sometimes my family looks like that. I mean, maybe my parents are divorced, but maybe they are. And, you know, it's like, how do I bring health and healing? Maybe you just had you just don't get along with your parents. How do you bring health and healing into that relationship? Because it is the most important relationship in your life. Your parents are the most important people, and they love you. So how can you bring healing to your family? First thing is love no matter what. And Proverbs 10:12 says, when I get there, says this, hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers over all wrongs. You know, you can choose to react with hatred, or you can choose to react with love. And, you know, one thing to remember in all of this is that your family, your parents, your siblings even, they're human. They make mistakes. They're going to say things that upset you, and you're going to do the exact same to them sometime. But you have the power to act in love. You have the power to change the situation. And let's look at one more verse under this section, 1 Peter 4:8. It's towards the back of the Bible. Go to Revelation and turn left. That's how I remember things. 1 Peter. I lost it. Oh no. I don't have 1 Peter. Here it is. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Same kind of sentiment, but it goes a little farther. It says, love each other deeply. And I don't know about you guys, but when I think about deep, I think about the ocean. And it's because, why? Because it's pretty deep. And there's something about, Kathy and I love the ocean. We go there all the time. Not all the time. Like, we're not there right now, but pretty often. Thanks, Jacob. Checks in the mail. But we love the ocean. And part of it is the sheer magnitude of it. It's gigantic. It's huge. Like, I can't see the other side. It's so big. And in that bigness, it has incredible depth. And when I read passages like the deepness of love and all that kind of stuff, I think about the ocean because, you know, you just can't find a bottom by looking at it. You know, like a lot of love, like love that people talk about, this hand didn't quite do the quote, but in like your yearbook, that's not the kind of love we're talking about. We're talking about deep love that you can't see the bottom. And, you know, when I look at my family growing up, I mean, I didn't always act with that kind of love. But now I look at my dad and like, man, oh, I just can't imagine like a more awesome dude. And he is a dude. If you've ever met my dad, he's amazing. Come to church next week. He'll probably be here. Do it. But that kind of love that just like, you know what? I don't care. I know you're human. I'm human. Let's work this out together. Cool? Cool. Next thing. Be honest. Be honest. Honesty is what? The best policy. Honesty is the best policy. You know, a lot of problems that we have is because we don't tell the truth. Or we try to cover something up and tell a half-truth. And then our parents find out and they're like, oh, busted. And you're like, oh, I'm such a dork. I should have just told you that I skipped school. Voice of experience. You should just tell the truth. Tell the truth. I have a whole bunch of verses in here about truth. Proverbs 12:17. A truthful witness gives honest testimony, but a false witness tells lies. Pretty obvious. Proverbs 12:19. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. Proverbs 12:22. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. Proverbs 14:5. A truthful witness does not deceive, but a false witness pours out lies. Proverbs 14:25. A truthful witness saves lives, but a false witness is deceitful. Proverbs 16:13. Kings take pleasure in honest lips. They value a man who speaks the truth. Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth as in purchase it, and do not sell it. Get wisdom, discipline, and understanding. If you live a life of honesty, then you don't have to hide. You don't have to hide. You don't have to deceive. You don't have to try to cover up stuff. You can just be you. And that's like the scariest place to be sometimes, when you've got a whole bunch of lies covering over you, because you got to work through all that. But if you start telling the truth and start living in a way, like people ask you any question, and you're just like, yeah, this is me. And you can honestly answer the question. That's where you need to be. And with your family, man, so much of the struggles that I had growing up would be gone if I would just tell the truth. And it's not like I was like trying to be deceitful, but I was just trying not to be in trouble. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't trying to like steer them down the wrong path and go, ha ha, suckers. I just didn't want to get in trouble. But the trouble would have been a lot less had I just told the truth. Can I tell you a story? All right. I was young, like first grade. And I went to Peter Kirk Elementary School in Kirkland. And my friends and I, because we're stupid, decided, hey, let's knock over the school sign. So we started shaking it because, you know, we're like first graders. How strong could we possibly be? Apparently strong enough, because we broke it over. And, you know, they called my parents and they told them everything. And then I got home and they're like, what did you do at school today? I was like, nothing. I was like, do you know anything about this broken sign? I'm like, no. And they're like, you sure? Yes, first grade. I'm an idiot. And, you know, and I was like, that was like the worst thing I've ever done, though. So trust me. I learned quick. But I got busted. And it got a whole lot worse because I lied about it. And my dad even told me, he's like, dude, if you would have just told the truth, it would have been a lot better for you. Because my butt hurt. I'll tell you that much. My parents didn't beat me, but they got close. Never mind. I'll stop. Anyway, so tell the truth, man. Just stop lying. Tell the truth. And third, realize that your parents really do understand. How many of you guys remember Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? Anybody? Anybody?
Oh, yeah.
Anybody? Will Smith? He had a song back when he was Fresh Prince, right? He had a song called Parents Just Don't Understand. I don't know all the words, but that was the chorus. And DJ Jazzy Jeff, yeah. Parents don't understand. And, you know, and he talked about how he was trying to do all this stuff and be all cool and everything. And his mom was like, no, you idiot. And he kept saying, parents just don't understand. Yes? Because I don't think it's on YouTube. But parents really do understand. And we don't think they do, because we're like, man, you didn't have the internet and you didn't have all this stuff. You guys were like Amish compared to my life now. And, you know, the truth is your parents face all the same struggles that you faced, maybe on a different scale, but they did face all the same struggles that you faced. I heard that. They did. They faced temptation. They faced lust. They faced drugs. They faced alcohol. They faced everything that you face today. And, you know, Ecclesiastes, I love the book of Ecclesiastes. If you ever want to like feel really bad and then feel really great, read Ecclesiastes, because it's that kind of book. Hi, Jeff. Hey. Okay. You're just... I know. I was like, wow. verse 9. Ecclesiastes 1:9. What has been will be again, and what has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new. It was here already long ago. It was here before our time. There is no remembrance of men of old, and even those who are yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow. But that saying, you know what? Life is the same. The struggles that we face are the same. Your parents understand. All right? And so if you're like, man, I can't talk to them about this. They went through it. It might scare the crap out of them if you talk to them about it, because they're like, whoa, I thought we couldn't talk about that. But they understand. They understand. What's that? Is it? Okay, whatever. They really do. They understand. They went through it all. Man, your parents, can I just tell you something? Have you guys ever taken a history class, ever? Did you ever study like the 60s and 70s, which was when your parents were like grown up? Those were messed up times, man. Your parents probably know what you went through and then some, all right? They probably are like, you tell them what you're struggling with, like, Mom, I play video games too long. And they're like, oh, that's it? Oh, good. You know, it's like, what's that? And it's like, oh, yes, living under the fear of nuclear holocaust. That's talk about it. You know, they really do understand. You know, I mean, hippies, just talk about hippies with your parents and be like, dude, those were messed up times, all right? No. and then I just have one last point, and then we'll close it up. And I have discussion questions, but we're not going to do that just because I don't feel like it. So, because I'm in charge. All right. The church is supposed to function as a family. How many of you guys caught that? How many of you guys are playing Mad Libs right now? You're just like putting in words. You think it's right. I do it all the time. So just, you can be honest. As opposed to action as a quickly. But the Bible says a lot about the church, and it says how we're adopted as sons of God, and we're supposed to live as a family together. You know, and so if you, you know, I'm not saying that the church should replace your family altogether, but if you need a place to refresh and you need a place to recharge, the church is supposed to be your family. You know, the youth staff, we have some great youth staff, and they love you, and they want to be like older brothers and sisters for you. All right? So call them up. If you're ever hurting, you're struggling, just call them up and harass them and say, dude, pick me up. And they'll be like, all right, I'll pick you up. And they'll take you to coffee or buy you a donut, whatever. Okay. But we're supposed to function as a family. And, you know, I have one last thing about that. Your friends need family. Your friends need places where they can feel loved no matter what. Because sometimes they go home and they don't experience that. And the truth is, we want our ministry to be a place where love is what we're known for. You know, we don't want to be like, hey, they're the guys who have Xbox, or hey, they're the guys who meet in a big room, or hey, they're the guys who have a guy with gray hair. You know, none of that. I'm really self-conscious about that gray hair, I'm finding out. I keep saying it. But, you know, we want to be a place where people are like, man, I go there and I feel loved. And I know that, you know, people are going to be happy to see me. And, you know, that's our hope and that's our prayer. And so, you know, if your friends are having a hard time with family, man, be their family. Let us be their family. If you're having a hard time with your family, man, let us help you out. Let us love you, all right? Let me help you. Anyway, let me pray.